knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
I guess, you know what? This isn't so much. I don't know if this is a bright spot or whatever, but we had a tornado warning yesterday as we're recording this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little exciting. You know, it was kind of broke up the day a little bit.
It was the second tornado warning I think I've heard in Chicago.
No, more than that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, do you mean like in the last year?
No. I mean like warning. Not like the watch thing.
I think of three times in the last like 2 years that I've gone down to the laundry room.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of sirens.
Holy cow.
And I know that in the years living in Chicago before that, it never happened.
None. Zero. Yes. Zero times.
It is very much happening more. Tornadoes are spotted in the near the city area. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a bright spot because, you know, tornadoes are really devastating, and when they hit, they hurt a lot of people, and I don't want to celebrate that, but there's something that kind of takes me back to when I was a kid, and we go down to the basement, and, you know, there'd be like, it almost felt like we were hiding out, and there were snacks in the basement, and it was kind of like, I don't know, there's something...
Candles, because the power might go off, yeah, the whole thing.
There's something, crank radio.
Oh, man, the old times.
Yeah, there's something that's kind of, it harkens to a more innocent time, an easier time, and I don't know why that's evoked by a tornado warning, but it kind of is.
I think that this is something that a lot of Midwestern people who grow up in, like, rural Midwest really share, mm-hmm. because... tornadoes were so much more frequent, you know?
And like a much more present threat.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The odds of it hitting, the memories of one hitting, you know, that, yeah.
Yeah, and at the same time, there was an element of like, I'm used to the tornadoes going off. And so there was much more comfort in being like, well, let's take a look at that tornado before we go down to the basement, you know? Let's step outside. Holy shit. And then you go right back into the basement.
Yeah, and maybe I've talked about this a little bit before in the past, but it also is something that like is a fear that I overcame. Like growing up in places like Hawaii, like there weren't thunderstorms there really.
Right.
And tornadoes and stuff. So like when I moved to Missouri, it was something that I was preoccupied with killing me.
Yeah.
Like, I was sure that we were moving to Tornado Alley.
Like, you knew in advance before you moved. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd read some book or something like that.
Right.
And it terrified
fucking
me.
Fucking books.
Yeah. And then, like, one of the first days we were in Missouri, you know, terrible thunderstorm, and I was, you know, horrified.
Yeah.
And then over the course of it, realizing, well, you know, like, you can go to the basement. There are things that you can do that can make you more safe. I think it's one of the fears that I've been able to overcome.
Yeah.
And it fucking drives me nuts to see like nobody does anything in Chicago.
No one
cares at all.
No, we're gonna
die. There's a tornado warning and people are just like, I don't know.
What are you gonna do? We're in buildings everywhere. Something's gonna fall on you. A basement's not gonna save you.
Yes, but it will be significantly better if a tornado hits and you're in a basement.
Sure.
Than if you're on the third, fourth, fifth floor of something.
Sure.
And there's a laundry room. Everybody could go down there. I was the only person in the laundry room.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm poking my head out. I'm seeing just people walking their dog. Like, what the fuck is going on? There's a tornado warning.
I have way more fear of being trapped in a basement underneath rubble than I do of being hit by a tornado.
Odds are that's not what's going to happen.
No, of course. Well, odds are you're not going to get hit by a tornado.
But if you do, you'd be so thankful to be trapped under some rubble.
Oh man, to die of thirst after 2 days because people didn't look for you,
that's
man.
That's not what's going to happen if you're in the basement. Meanwhile, if you're on the top floor, you're going to be yeah, exactly. You're going to Oz, my man.
I mean, if there's anything I know about tornadoes, it's that they all take you to Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. It was just a little bit exciting.
Yeah.
Broke up the day a little bit.
Did you see any of the photos of the sky?
I did. But some of them appeared to be a little bit doctored.
They had to have been.
At least like the sort of exposure of it or something is to make it like pop a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of those pictures are pretty crazy.
Oh man, it looks like a 30,000 foot wave coming over the sky to hit Chicago. Oh man, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, like during the day you're thinking too, like, all right, what they're talking about is a tornado that is heading towards like the loop.
Yeah.
And just the prospect of a tornado, we know what that does.
Yep.
Like hitting downtown Chicago would be insane.
The concept, like the damage would be incalculable.
I think one of the things that would make it a little bit less bad is that the buildings wouldn't allow the churning, like the cyclic air.
That's true.
To like go as far. I think that there's some element to that. Don't hold me to that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is twofold. First most obvious bright spot. Yoga.
Oh.
I'm going back to yoga. We stopped going to yoga when my wife went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went back to yoga, my knee buckled so hard that I couldn't even do it for a while.
Uh-huh.
And now my knee finally feels good enough. We're going back to yoga.
I have a question for you.
What's that?
The inquiring minds want to know about this suspicious timing that Street Fighter VI just came out. And now you're going back to yoga. People are saying, the streets are talking, that you think that you're going to learn to shoot a fireball out of your mouth.
Well, okay. Now, Dalsim, okay,
yeah,
is not my specific teacher, but I do go to his school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Well, that's fun. I have some thoughts of maybe exploring some.
I
could use a little more flexibility in my life.
It's
I'm a bit wooden.
I wish it weren't effective, but it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Yeah.
Well, I imagine it helps undo a little bit of the tennis soreness and what have you. So
yep,
it's a good dual thing.
Yeah. And then my second bright spot is that when you are listening to this, tickets probably have been on sale.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I realized after the fact that when we said we're going to Scotland, Glasgow, we didn't say any other details.
No,
we didn't even say the day of the show.
Nope.
So maybe you can fill people in on all of the relevant details.
Probably a smart move. So the show is on September 20th.
Uh-huh.
It's at Webster's Theater, which
Webster's
is like a repurposed church, which will be interesting.
That sounds fun.
And then the tickets go on sale at 9 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
Okay.
So that
can
is
you,
that.
Can you lay that out for time zones, my man?
Greenwich Mean Time is 5 hours ahead of Central Time. If you know any other times, I mean, if you're in between there or past there.
I feel like you are the antithesis of Alex, where he lays out 18 time zones whenever he's saying something.
Nope, I don't.
You're
know
just like,
two.
Yeah, figure it out.
I know two. I know Central and I go.
I feel like Greenwich Mean is probably the most relevant time zone to folks who may be coming.
I mean, to the world, right?
I guess.
I don't know.
No.
Probably not.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's
it's
fun.
It's going to be very exciting.
Tickets on sale.
Tickets are on sale.
Yeah.
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 That'll be cool.
Oof. Man. Man, oh, man. You're going to get murdered.
What are you talking about? I swear to you. I feel like Glasgow and I are going to mesh too well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not coming back.
Until you keep calling them Brits and somebody takes you out.
I mean, if you want to not be Brits, you had a chance.
I'm not engaging with this at all.
You had a chance.
Okay, Jordan.
Two.
You're going to die.
Two. Two chances.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I can't wait. But for now, we have a show to do.
Yes, we do.
So today, we're going to be in the past. We're going to be talking about something in 2004. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about March 5th, 2004.
Okay. All right.
For a bad episode.
Another bad past episode?
It's bad in a different way.
Okay, well, that's that's better than, I guess, pure and brutal racism.
It's not
racism.
Repetitively bad.
Okay.
But still really bad.
Okay.
Man. Bad stuff.
Oh, boy.
A lot of bad reading material I had to do in advance of this episode.
Right.
So we'll get down to business.
Books again.
What?
Books again.
Less, well, one book. Less books, more newsletters.
Ah, fair enough.
And we'll get down to business on all that. But first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first,
I'm going to go with Auntie.
That would be an I. See, there's a J there.
Auntie or Auntia?
Auntja. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Next, the Iron Islands built an Amanda in like 2 days. Trust me, it does not hold up. Sincerely, Charlotte. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
By the
Thank
way,
you very much.
It wasn't an Amanda. It's an Armada. again, cold reading.
Thank you very much, Armada.
Next, Fisher the Swamp Fang. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next. Hey, baby girl, let me go daddy shark on that ass. Bop, 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 bop. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
That's specified in your best Alex Jones impression, please. That's all I got.
I almost took it out of there just to see if you could get there on your own, but...
Maybe.
Yeah.
And globalists made me shatter my tibia in Austria. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we've got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much, too. My deadbeat dad listened to Alex in the early 2000s, and all I got was this shout-out on Knowledge Fight and therapy. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now, you know, it's a fun thing to think about.
What?
There is a chance that this person's deadbeat dad listened to this episode with them.
That would be interesting.
This is a 2004 episode. This could have been what sent them to therapy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Imagine if it's this specific episode and they're like, I'm reliving a nightmare.
Well, I hope it's cathartic, and I hope we help you get through it.
Either that, or maybe they're experiencing like a river runs through it kind of breakthrough emotional experience with their father.
Well, or I would worry that this person is going to think that reality is ordered around them.
That is a concern.
Yeah, that might lead to some kind of psychosis.
We can't prove it's not, though.
So we start here, and Alex announces who is going to be a guest on the show, and immediately it's a problem.
Uh-oh.
Coming up in the second hour, we have Tex Mars coming on the show. And I've known Tex Mars for a long time. I've seen his, what you could call, evolution of thinking. He was an Air Force officer, professor of space and aeronautics, wrote military handbooks and textbooks and books, best-selling books on robots, you know, back in the 80s. Then he found out about the New World Order and the occultism and has really studied what's at the heart of it, the Satanism. And even if you don't believe in Satanism, the globalists do. This is what they're into. And they control the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jews.
Wait.
I mean, every major group and organization is controlled by this global satanic cult.
I'm certain that we've talked a little bit about Tex Mars in the past, but I thought this might be a good time to chat a little bit more about him and how what Alex just said is a damning indictment of Alex Jones and InfoWars and their entire pretend charade about the globalists.
Okay.
The thing that's particularly important to point out is that Alex is saying that he's witnessed Tex's evolution of thought, because this indicates an intimate understanding of what Tex believes. And keep in mind, these two are good friends. Alex has said on multiple occasions that that's the church he goes to when he goes to church.
Yeah.
Tex performed Alex's first wedding. So, like, they know each other well.
That would suggest so, yes.
Yeah, but his understanding of Tex and what his belief system is isn't a surface-level thing. He understands Tex's conclusions, he understands how he's arrived at them, and he endorses spreading them to the InfoWars audience.
Right.
The reason this is a problem is that Tex Mars doesn't believe that a satanic cult has infiltrated the Christians and Jews and everyone else. He believes that the Jews are that satanic cult, and if Alex knows anything about Tex, as he's presenting he does, he has to know this. Yeah. There's just no way around it, because Tex is really upfront about this stuff. Case in point, he wrote a book called Holy Serpent of the Jews, which has this tagline on the cover. Quote, "The rabbi's secret plan for Satan to crush their enemies and vault the Jews to global dominion." This is the first line from the introduction of that book. Quote, "Satan has a plan for a one-world religion and a one-world government. This religion will be led by his chosen people, the Jews. The holy serpent, the beast whom the rabbis adore as Messiah, will rise up out of the abyss. He will anoint the Jews as God and destroy their hated adversaries, the Christians." He goes on to say, quote, "Frankly, I find that Judaism is a repugnant and loathsome religion. Judaism is a phallic sex cult based on self-worship by Jews and on the adoration of none other than the serpent. Yes, that's right. The God and Messiah for the Jews is Satan." Later in that text, he legitimately says, quote, "Wherever they exist, the Jews' devilish religion, toxin-producing culture, and hatred of other races and nationalities drives them to act as destroyers." Please take my word for it that there's a whole lot more horrible, blatant anti-Semitic shit where all this came from, and in much of Tex Mars's work. Here's where we need to loop back around to Alex's declaration that he's witnessed Mars's evolution in thought over the years. In that book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, Tex discusses his path through life. Alex mentions his military service being at the beginning of this path, and here's the way that Tex discusses that in his book. He was in the military until 1982, and then in 1987, he published his first big nonsense book, Dark Secrets of the New Age. He says, quote, "I became celebrated in Christendom for these titles and was eventually recognized as possibly the world's foremost authority on cults and satanic religions." Editorial note, no, he wasn't.
Yeah.
"Still, I was not in the least conversant about Judaism, the real Judaism." In Tex's own words, the evolution of his thinking past 1987 had to do with him reading about the Kabbalah and the Talmud and descending on a path that led him to the revelation that the Jews were behind a satanic push to create the New World Order. This is the evolution of Tex's thinking. There's nothing else that Alex could possibly be pointing to that makes any sense. It's worth pointing out, just in the name of total fairness, that Tex got a lot more explicit in his later years, and 2004 is prior to the publication of The Holy Serpent of the Jews and some of his worst stuff, but it would be absurd to pretend that he wasn't on this page by this point in time, here in 2004.
Yeah.
Later on, he's substantially more hostile in the way that he speaks, but as early as 2002, I can find his newsletter publishing long screeds Tex wrote about how the Jews are behind the New World Order, but at least at this point, he was trying to soft play the whole thing, and he says, quote, "Yes, I do forgive the Jews. The Jews live and work in unbelief, having for so long been taught lies about Christians and about Christianity by their rabbis and leaders. This is both tragic and poignant, for by rejecting Christ, the Jews are embracing the evil one who opposes Christ. Satan is no doubt thrilled over the prospect of bringing so many Jews down to hell for eternity, but as for me, I am saddened. My heart aches." At this point, Tex has the perspective you might sum up as, the Jewish leaders are the ones who are behind the New World Order, but not every Jewish person in the world is in on that conspiracy.
Sure.
He would later espouse that all Jewish people were in on the conspiracy.
That's not good.
But at this point, you know, this is where he's at. In this very newsletter titled, quote, "My Heart Aches for the Jews," Tex opens with this, quote, "What a tremendous spiritual struggle I have undergone in the past 6 months. As I studied and researched the scriptures and burned the midnight oil preparing my two latest videos, often my heart would almost reach a breaking point. How my heart aches for the Jews." This is identifiable as the point where Tex's views went from coded anti-Semitic shit couched as New World Order conspiracy theories and things like promoting the protocols of the Elders of Zion into direct and overt anti-Semitism. If you look through a number of his newsletters, you get the sense that this here in about 2002 is about where things take a hard shift.
Yeah.
But Tex is only dipping his toes into the pool. He's not diving straight into that shitty water that he'd eventually swim in. By 2003, Tex was preaching about how the, quote, Jewish neocons were, quote, covert enemies of the United States of America. In one of his sermons from August 30th, 2003, Tex even said that Bush's actions in the war in Iraq were dictated according to what his Jewish controllers told him to do. Quote, even Saddam's two sons, Kudeh and Hussein, were isolated and slaughtered according to Jewish ritual. We can be sure that the all-seeing eye of the Jewish Illuminati carefully watches over the White House and President George W. Bush. He was making an argument that, like, different days were chosen to do different things because of Jewish ritual traditions and stuff.
So what he would prefer is that they slaughtered them in a Christian ritual?
I guess.
Okay.
So my point here is this. Tex Mars definitely did have an evolution, and it's one that he's completed by March 2004 when he's on this episode with Alex.
Right.
He's a completely devoted anti-Semite who believes that the Jews are behind the New World Order and the push for a one-world government. It isn't this charade that Alex likes to hide behind about how the globalists infiltrate all groups equally and Jewish people are just one of those groups. That may be how Alex wants to present his brand, but that's not what Tex believes. And based on Alex's words, he has absolutely zero reason not to know that. The fact that Alex doesn't want to bring up this belief that his guest has can really only lead me to one conclusion. He knows that it would turn off the audience, and if the audience is turned off, they will immediately reject Tex. If they're led to believe that he's not a bigot in this interview with Alex, they may approach his definitely anti-Semitic material with a greater willingness to accept it as not anti-Semitic, come into it with an open mind.
Yeah.
Alex is trying to Trojan horse anti-Semitism, and that's the best, most generous explanation that I can come up with, and he doesn't deserve it. Based on the guests that we've seen in this 2004 stretch, whole lot of Nazis, let's say. Whole lot of folks who don't believe in the Holocaust.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't. Is that his real name?
I think so.
Oh, that sounds made up. Tex Mars?
It's also T-E-X-E.
Oh, that's even more annoying to me.
And Mars is spelled M-A-R-R-S.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's the worst fantasy authors. That's a sci-fi author's terrible naming convention. That's very frustrating.
Well, we mentioned this on the last time we talked about him, I'm sure. But him and his wife, one of the books they wrote together was Choosing the Best Name for Your Dog. So he's written, before he went down all this path, he wrote a number of other things that were completely unconnected to this bullshit.
It did feel like even Alex's introduction was copy and pasted from the documentary that's like, at first it was going along fine, and then he started learning about the New World Order.
Yeah, but Alex is still hiding.
Yeah.
You know, he's still putting the ball behind his back.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sometimes it's really just annoying to hear these people. Even if you agree with them, you're like, this is too much.
What do you mean?
You shouldn't write a whole thing about it. I don't need to listen to all of this.
I think the people who agree with him like to hear all that. I understand where you're coming from, that it's annoying.
It's just too long.
I didn't even read the whole book.
See,
nor all
I'm
the
saying.
Newsletters.
This is what I'm saying.
I love that you're the one who's complaining that it's too long, and I'm the one who read these things. So
I'm theoretically complaining that were I to be
you're
part
you're complaining
of this.
On my behalf, and
yes,
I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. That is what I'm doing.
So Alex talks a little bit about what they're going to get into.
We'll talk about Skull and Bones and George W. Bush and Kerry with Tex. In fact, a decade ago, Tex was the only other author to write a detailed book about Skull and Bones. Now, it was just him and Anthony Sutton. Now there are, I don't know, I've probably seen 15 different books on Skull and Bones out there.
Oh, man, I wonder what they're going to talk about with Kerry and Skull and Bones. A few weeks after this episode, Tex published a newsletter titled, quote, The Order of Skull and Bones, which has an entire section with the heading, quote, Kerry's Concealed Jewish Heritage. Which seems slightly off topic, maybe
wow.
Just a tiny bit.
That's wild.
Tex discusses how Kerry's grandfather came to the United States from then Czechoslovakia and, quote, set up shop with fellow Jews on Wall Street and soaked up a fortune ripping off hapless Gentile clients. And then Tex goes on another bit of a sidetrack. Quote, my investigation shows that Teresa Hines, the wife of John Kerry, is also Jewish. Apparently, this led him to the conclusion that, quote, for some reason, the Illuminati has decided that it is time. Time for many formerly hidden Jews to come out of the closet. I feel like this article was supposed to be about Skull and Bones, but it's actually about how mad Tex is that someone with Jewish heritage might become president.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if Alex gets into those feelings that Tex has when he has him on the show.
Yeah, it does feel like he's more interested in one thing than he is in the title.
I didn't even get into the part of that article that is weirdly about how Wesley Clark apparently also has secret Jewish heritage.
Oh, I genuinely was waiting for you said Wesley, and my next thought was like, if he says Snipe, this is going to be the weirdest
or,
newsletter
Crusher.
Ever. Yeah,
from Star Trek.
From Star Trek, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Deep new Next Generation.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
So Alex has to kill a little time before Tex comes in. So he complains about how easy it is for undocumented immigrants to get IDs.
Of course.
And I remember seeing years later the Statesman an article that immigrants get a waiver from showing their birth certificate and ID. You just walk in if you're an illegal at the DPS and say, ID, my name's, Francisco... whatever, and boom, you're in. Starting to get this, folks?
If this is truly the case, then why doesn't everyone just pretend to be an undocumented immigrant and get themselves an ID?
I would rather do that than go through the other way.
It sounds way easier than the whole process. And if you come out the other side with the exact same ID, what's the point?
Yeah.
Do these places require you to prove that you're an undocumented immigrant to get the undocumented immigrant treatment? Like, how would that work?
Well, you bring your undocumented ID in order to get your documented ID.
Mm.
And that is a one-to-one process because your documented ID is just a picture.
Now, Alex might be getting, he might be skipping over a bunch of stuff with the idea that there's a waiver. Like, maybe there's a whole process that waiver entails.
That's possible.
Because maybe sometimes, like, just for instance, if you're like a refugee who comes over,
interesting,
you may not have a lot of documentation because you've had to like flee your home country.
Right, right, right. It may have burned in a fire in some place like Czechoslovakia.
So maybe you have to get a waiver and you go through a whole process that is maybe that's something that he's pretending is just walking into a DMV and being like, my name is Francisco whatever.
I mean, but even then, we all know that paperwork is as impossible as they can fucking make it.
I would assume so. Having not been through the process, I would assume so.
I would assume they were fucking
you. I assume it is way harder than walking in and being like, blah, 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 give me an ID.
No, yeah, that's not possible.
Yeah, but it stokes the racist fears, xenophobic fears that Alex and his audience gorge on.
Yeah.
So Alex goes to calls, and it immediately goes bad.
Well, let's go to him quickly. Who's up first in Canada? Reg, go ahead.
Hi, Al.
Yes.
Listen, I'll tell you, I've been listening to you guys for about a year and a half, right?
Yes.
And I think it's time for us just to make a date. You know, like you are on the radio, you have a lot of listeners, everyone's waking up, right? And
yes.
I know my friends are waking up, and we're sick and sleeping tired of this bullshit. And
okay, so we're going to let you go. This broadcast is not a place to act like an idiot, and you're banned from the show.
Yeah, no potty mouth. This is a family show.
It's a family show. It's a family show.
Flash forward to Alex. Fuck.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, that's wild to hear. And the way he said it to the scolding adult-ass tone, fuck you.
Feel your fucking hand.
How dare you? Excuse me, sir. This is not the place to act like an idiot.
Alex,
this is a Denny's.
His brand is a little different at this point.
Yeah, I can see that.
A little different.
Yeah.
So Tex comes in, and they start up the conversation talking about Skull and Bones, as you might expect.
Okay.
Good to have you with us. Skull and Bones. We have the Skull and Bones candidacy. I mean, really, no choice at all.
Well, that's right, because no matter who we vote for, the two major parties have given us the Skull and Bonesmen. I think that's very interesting. You know, you and I have always warned people that there's not a dime's worth of difference in the two political parties. And certainly, when you really get down to the record, other than some very subtle, meaningless distinctions between Bush and Kerry, they both stand for the same New World Order platform, don't they?
Oh, man, there's not a lick of difference between Bush and Kerry. They're both in Skull and Bones. Or at least that's what Tex is saying on this radio show.
Yeah,
Things might sound different in his newsletter.
It does feel like he is a lot more explicit other places.
Quote, yes, it does seem a certainty that whether Bush or Kerry, our next president, will be a Bonesman. He may be a Jew, too, and his vice president may be a Jew. Two Jews who once claimed to be Gentiles. So what's the big deal? Why does it matter? Well, you history buffs may recall that in 1917, two closet Jews named Lenin and Trotsky vaulted to the leadership of the Russian Empire, an empire then among the world's great superpowers. They and their Jewish henchmen went on to imprison, torture, and kill some 66 million and Christians and other enemies of Jewish Zionism. The Soviet gulags run by Jewish commandants dwarfed the Nazi concentration camps in size and deadliness. Could this happen again, this time in America? You better believe it. Can. You better believe it can.
Slight
difference in messaging.
I mean, I just can't help but read that and go, if you are telling the truth about this, I wouldn't need to hear it from you. I would already know that.
Well,
that is a not unknowable thing.
Sure.
You know?
And just to be clear, when he says the vice president part, that's because he was assuming that Wesley Clark would be his vice president, John Edwards.
Right.
But yeah, man, little different tone there because you got two different audiences.
Yeah.
You don't want to scare off the normies who might be listening to Alex's show on the radio with your ranting about how John Kerry is a closet Jew.
I know. And it's so crazy. You know, like we were talking on the last episode, you know, people can have a completely separate conversations to each other because the words have no meaning, you know, and this idea of like.
If you're talking about Tex and the audience, yes. If you're talking about Tex and Alex, I don't believe that.
No. I was talking about, on our last episode, we were talking about how Ice Cube and...
Saying comparing that to...
Oh, Tex and the audience.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Like, the audience can listen to that and hear, like, we are ruled by an aristocratic class of rich people that are owning the government. And you're like... Yeah, man, I can get along with that.
Yeah.
But if you were like, they're all Jews, that'd be like, nah, I don't think we're going to stay there, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to look further into your information.
You're a bad human being.
Yeah, but I think that that is possible in the sort of one-way conversation and the audience's response in their head to it.
Right.
I think that that is possible. Between Alex and Tex, I don't believe that's
possible. No. He knows.
Yeah, he knows what he believes.
Alex knows. I was talking about between the two of them. Yeah.
So in this next clip, Tex... gets excited about accusing the Jews of deicide, which is hot topic at this point because of Passion of the Christ, of course.
Oh, that's right.
And the conversation that's going around about that.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Mel Gibson is greatly criticized by these liberal Jewish organizations for his movie. Now, how dare you say that the Jews killed Jesus? How dare you report what the Bible says, that horrible New Testament the Jews say? Why, how dare you to do that? That's a lie. Why, we never had anything to do with Jesus' death. But even the people saying these things, these hypocritical Jewish organizations, such as Foxman's ADL, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and all the rest of them, they know that their very own holy book, the Jewish Talmud itself brags and says, hey, we Jews killed Jesus. He got what was coming to him. He was a blasphemer. So they, in their own little secret councils and their own little bitty seminary classes, brag about killing Jesus. But if you, a Christian, go out and say it, like, or Mel Gibson put it in a movie, they want to hang you. So this is hypocrisy taken to a very extreme level.
Well, I mean, what it is doublethink.
Not really.
No.
So what's interesting about this is that, like, Alex and, you know, Mel Gibson will try and, you know, sort of tiptoe around it and be like, the movie doesn't, it's not saying that the Jews killed Jesus, whereas Tex is like, you better fucking believe it does.
Yep.
Which is, and also you may notice that he's citing the Talmud, and that is the basis for all of his, like, later, like, aggressively universal hatred of Jews.
Yeah.
And so he's already on that tip. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah. I mean, the problem really, if he actually believed this was a justification, which he fucking doesn't.
Mm.
That's all stupid. It's bullshit. It happened quite a while ago. You can't still be mad. You can't. Here's the big problem, though. If you start saying that, hey, because you killed this person, we can hate you forever, I think they'll find that Christians have plenty of those people in their past. And if you're going to justify it, you have to accept that other people can and should use it against you.
Well, I mean, the twist of it for Tex, the way you'd get out of it, is that, like, Jesus is the only true savior who has ever come. And so that
I say that about my guy.
Right. I understand that. Yeah. But he says he's right. So
okay. I say I'm right. Yeah, so we can
wrong.
Kill each other. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You have to agree that if I murder you, you are 100% fine with that.
But my killing of you would be righteous, and your killing of me would be a heretical murder.
I mean, I wouldn't care. You'd be dead.
I understand what you're saying,
right.
But you're coming at this with the point of, like, Tex has to accept this, and I'm saying he doesn't.
No. I mean, I understand that he won't.
You externally believe he needs to accept that to be logically consistent, but I'm saying that he does not.
No. I don't mean that. What I mean is that if he is going to say that, then it doesn't matter whether he says I accept it or not. On a certain level, he believes that to be true, which doesn't matter what he says to me.
No, not on a certain level. He does not have to believe that to be true, because he would work his way around it by saying it is such a unique, different thing.
Right. I'm not talking about the way he works around it. I'm talking about the fundamental idea.
I guess, but I disagree with you.
No. I understand. We're kind of talking around, like,
I'm saying that he has a built-in reason to never believe any of the things that you're saying that make sense on paper.
Right, 100%. I'm just saying that the fundament of that belief is you killed a guy, so I get to kill you.
External from his head, that makes sense. In his head, he never has to believe that. He does not have to. Fundament or not, he does not.
I mean, he says that it's cocaine.
So, leaving this aside, we're not going to make any progress on this.
No.
Alex has a absurd thing to say, and that is that Tex supports Israel.
You know, that's the amazing thing, is that Tex,
sorry?
You've written a lot of books where you're supporting Israel, and I've never not been, you know, a supporter of Jewish people. I support everybody, but the Bible, I mean, I've read the Bible. It's all about the prophet saying, you're bad. You're going to be punished if you don't follow God's orders. And you don't deserve this land unless you're following it. And then now it's morphed today into you support whatever happens. Even if the Antichrist himself goes from Europe, sets up camp there, you've got to worship him or you're not supporting Israel.
Well, see, this is just not of God. And we want to help the Jews, and you only help people when you tell the truth.
Yikes.
Wow.
So it's pretty rich for Alex to be claiming that Tex supports Israel. Right around the time of this episode, Tex wrote an article for his newsletter titled, quote, "Since 1948, has America been blessed or cursed? You decide." As you might guess, the premise is that the U.S. has been cursed because they support Israel.
What specifically happened in 1948 that would be
Israel?
Yeah.
The evidence he offers is a list of, quote, "plagues and evils ravaging America since 1948, including, but not limited to, witchcraft,
all right,
homosexual depravity,
sure,
music vulgarity,
what,
Antichrist lobby groups, fiendish movies,
sure,
and people getting tattoos." In case some people didn't get the message, he wrote another article around this time for his newsletter titled, quote, "America has been on a downward spiral since Israel's founding in 1948. Is America cursed by God?" Here's a little section from that one.
Sure.
Quote, "To hear the preachers and politicians, one would think that America is God's beloved, a nation chosen and kept special by him because its citizens and culture are so very wonderful, so very moral and divine. But that's not at all what God has told me to tell Americans." Yeah, that line was a little...
Okay.
"For months now, the Holy Spirit has urged me to come right out and continue to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, dear friends, here it is, unvarnished and without garnish, devoid of embroidery. America is one of the two most cursed nations on earth."
Okay.
You can guess what the other country is.
Boy, I'm going to go with Yugoslavia.
Wrong.
Oh, shit.
You want to try again?
Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Tex argues that God is punishing the U.S. because, quote, our citizenry and its leaders never cease in providing aid and comfort to ungodly Israel and to unrepentant Jews who are avowed enemies of God. This is around the time of this interview.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I feel like Alex should ask Tex about this. I imagine he won't, because that's not the kind of interview that this is. This is an interview meant to make the audience like Tex,
yeah.
Not to make the audience actually understand what he's about,
yeah.
And what he believes.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Mm.
God has really lowered the bar on plagues since Egypt. If one of them
music
is
vulgarity?
Music vulgarity,
oof.
That's not good.
Mm.
The Pharaoh's not going to let you free on music vulgarity, God.
What about this witchcraft?
Witchcraft? I mean, listen, again, until you say that they can actually do stuff,
right.
I can't handle it.
That seems to be the premise, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, if they have witch powers, I'm on their team and not yours, because they have witch powers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not complicated.
Also, there was no homosexuality before 1948.
Not one time.
No vulgar music.
Nope.
No fiendish movies.
Uh-uh.
No tattoos.
Well, I mean, you know. Big band jazz was difficult to make music vulgarity from.
But they found a way to call it vulgar.
That's true. They really did.
Yeah.
Those goddamn horns.
Yeah. The horns are too sensual.
They're too much.
Yeah.
Those drums are louder than they're supposed to be.
That jungle rhythm encouraging evil thoughts.
I hate Buddy Rich.
Oh, boy. So not to put too fine a point on this, mm-hmm. but Alex has learned a lot from Tex.
Well, let me enter in briefly with this, because this is key, and I learned this from you. You have a copy of Helmut Schmidt's Men in Powers, a political retrospective written by the German Chancellor before Helmut Kohl. That's in my film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, in the intro that I helped research out of your library, and I'm indebted to you for that text.
That's not good.
This is at major libraries, Men in Powers.
That's Helmut a bad
Schmidt.
Library.
And he says, I'm a member of the CFR, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, we're the world government people. He wrote this, okay, folks?
Yes.
And he says, we have our own ceremonial druid groves, and you know, this stuff comes from Germany. But he says, my favorite place to do the ceremonies is in Northern California at the Bohemian Grove.
Sort of misrepresenting that text. But the more important thing is that Alex has been informed of major pillars of his worldview from Tex.
That's
and
right.
He researched for Dark Secrets Bohemian Grove in Tex's library. They're intimately connected, you know, like this information stream
yeah.
is connected.
Yeah, I feel like if I went into that library, I would have a full-on like horror movie like, oh, no! No, it's coming from all sides! You know,
yeah.
like it would be, it's a hellish place.
I think I would love it.
Of course you would.
But that's just because I mean, first of all, I'd steal almost all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, well, of course.
I would pillage that library.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I imagine he's got some stuff that like is almost impossible to find.
Totally.
But is really revealing of some of how these thoughts and like ideologies form. And so, like some of the ideas that, you know, you go to a mainstream library, you're not going to have access to these materials.
I bet that dude has bound copies of manifestos and shit.
I would imagine like newsletters and, you know, some of the stuff from before the internet.
And Encyclopedia Britannica. He seems like a guy who's got the full volumes.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
Somebody came to his house.
Probably as Encarta.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
We know that Alex
well,
is an Encarta boy. So John Kerry, you know, he was Skull and Bones.
Sure.
And here's where we find out how he got picked for that.
Then they went to Yale. Now, how were they chosen? It wasn't because Kerry was such a great student.
I bet I know.
Or was so popular or whatever. After all, only
you
15
do.
Students got chosen each year.
Well, he's John Forbes Kerry. I mean, he's got a pedigree.
He does indeed. And of course, his grandfather, now we know, came over from Czechoslovakia, Jewish, and founded a Wall Street firm, a Wall Street banking firm. Then John Kerry's father became a very high-level American diplomat in the State Department. Kerry, I believe, comes from a communist background. All of these people in the Kerry bloodline were indeed Marxist communist Jews. There's no doubt about that. In my newsletter this month, I have a picture, and I've seen him do it numerous times, of John Kerry giving the communist fist a fist clenched salute.
Just like that.
Yeah. Just like, hooray!
Yeah.
We did it!
Yeah.
Man.
Communist fist pump.
I'll tell you what. I have watched Rafa Nadal, and he is the most communist human being I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, it just makes me think of the terrorist fist bump with Michelle Obama and Barack.
Oh, my God.
I feel like this is a little too much for on Alex's show. Like him.
Once you say bloodline, we're in trouble.
A bloodline of communist Jews.
Yeah.
Powerful communist Jews. Like if I were listening and I were one of Alex's audience members, I would start to notice that this seems to have a lot to do with the Jews. For somebody who Alex is presenting as like, you know,
he supports Israel. He's trying to do his best for the Jews.
And all of these groups have been co-opted by the globalists, the New World Order. It seems like a lot of focus on one particular group here.
Yeah. No, and he can't.
And it's not because I cut out all the parts where they were talking about Muslims or something.
No, and Alex can hide, and did, obviously, behind.
And does.
Behind so much of this bullshit, because he can be like, it is groups. The moment you say bloodline, you're saying it's deterministic and there's nothing you can do about it. And you believe that, even if you say like, oh, no, we can do it. You believe that.
Communism's in my blood.
It's blood. Yeah. If it's a bloodline shit, you're fucked.
Also, man, John Kerry, communist.
I just don't know what to do.
So we got the Hegelian dialectic in conversation here. Tex is going to discuss the way that a hate crime law in Idaho got passed.
Sure.
And I'm going to give you this warning, but I'm going to bleep it out of the episode.
Okay.
Tex drops a hard N-word.
Oh, my God. Oh, fucking shit.
It's not. It's in a context that is like, someone who is maybe a bit racist would be like, ah, come on. Alex doesn't bat an eye. There's no...
Nothing.
That guy, he got mad at that guy for saying bullshit.
Yeah.
And this just flies.
Wild.
But, yep, here you go. Enjoy.
The Hegelian dialectic. They need two opposing sides to have conflict and to create chaos, and then they come up with a solution, which is the synthesis. And, you know, I remember some years ago up in the state of Oregon, I believe it was. No, I'm sorry, Idaho. The state legislature was considering whether to pass a hate crimes act. And it would have limited free speech, Alex. Well, it was not going to pass the state Senate committee in Idaho. It didn't have a prayer to pass until the Aryan Nations guys showed up. Only about six or seven of them. They got off an army back of some... World War II surplus army truck. They had on their black armbands and their Nazi brown uniforms, brown shirt, and went around giving the Nazi salute, saying, you know, we're going to raise hell if this hate crime act is passed. We hate Jews and niggers. This is what they said, okay? Well, anybody seeing that, what would you want? I'd want that hate crimes act passed. I mean, these terrible Nazis saying the N-word and saying they want to kill all Jews. I mean, if these people are around everywhere, and here they are right in the capital city of Idaho giving the Nazi salute. There's only a half dozen of them, of course, the Aryan Nations. I mean, the very next day, there was an editorial by a Jewish man, head of some Jewish organization that was unknown. His name was like Goldstein or something. And he blasted the Aryan Nations. I think it was the Aryan Nations. And he said, this is proof that we need to pass this hate crimes act right away. And everybody said, well, see, there a group sort of like the ADL is against this and is for the hate crime act. Now the Idaho Senate ended up passing that act. Public pressure made them do it. It was only belatedly that somebody did a little research in the, I think it was the Idaho Observer newspaper, if I can recall, come to find out Mr. Goldstein of this Jewish organization had the same mailing address as the Aryan Nation.
No.
Dun, dun, dun. Twist.
Okay.
That story isn't true.
that's an absurd story.
Yeah, but it's a fun way for Tex and Alex to pretend that the hate groups whose messages they support aren't real. Interestingly, when I tried to find a story about Idaho and the Aryan Nations and someone named Goldstein, all I was able to pull up was a 1986 article about the Aryan Nations Congress being held in Hayden Lake, Idaho, and this quote about radicalizing locals from one of the group's members, the group's leaders, the Aryan Nation leaders. Quote, "All we had to do is to convince a man who's been on the wrong end of a foreclosure sale that he's the victim of a conspiracy by Jewish bankers. He loses his farm, one that his family has maybe had for 100 years, courtesy of someone at the bank, someone called Goldstein or Greenberg. He's not going to be too terribly happy with the Jews for that, is he? And that's where we move in." On a fundamental level, the tactic being described by this Aryan Nations leader isn't too different from what Tex is doing here. They're both taking a thing that is seen as unpopular and blaming its existence on the Jews.
Yeah.
Tex is saying that there's a desire to pass this hate crime legislation that would restrict free speech, and the only way they were able to get it passed is by having a Jewish group pretend to be an anti-Semitic racist hate group, which would then protest itself. The Jewish group was playing both sides in order to restrict free speech.
Yeah.
If you take what Tex is saying seriously at all, this is indistinguishable from neo-Nazi Stormfront type rhetoric. It's honestly shocking that this kind of stuff is not more what's defined Alex's legacy.
Yeah.
You know, really, when we're in this 2004 stretch, it's been rough with anti-Semitic shit and like weird guests who are deeply problematic. Mm-hmm. Not like somebody, like I would put them as more problematic than even like Mike Cernovich or Jack Posobiec.
Totally.
Like these types of people are deep in the shit.
Yeah.
And it's wild to me that this isn't what he is characterized as. Now, granted, I think a lot of people don't know who he is. People in mainstream life don't have occasion to know who he is, or maybe they've heard of him in passing as like the guy who lost $1 billion for lying about Sandy Hook people. And I don't think that that is an undeserved legacy either.
No.
But it is surprising to me when I go back and I listen to this era that, like, you know, when 2009 came along, you know, 2010, whenever there was a slightly rising awareness of who Alex was and his star was rising, that this wasn't like an anchor on him like it should be.
I mean, you know, it's kind of fascinating because Tex made an interesting point, which is if the Aryan Nation hadn't showed up, the bill would have passed.
No, you're saying that it wouldn't have passed.
He would have gotten what he wanted.
Right.
Right. So what he's saying is essentially that we should have let Idaho be as racist as we are by not doing anything. So does that mean that the best way to get what you want is to do nothing?
Well,
in this instance...
You know, obviously, they have the same mailing address. This Jewish group that Goldstein is working for and the Aryan Nations are the same group, right? So, in this instance, the doing nothing isn't an option for him because he's pretending that the Aryan Nations doesn't really exist.
Right.
They're
a
fabrication of this Jewish group that came to town because this hate speech bill wasn't going to pass and they needed to restrict free speech.
Right.
And so they played the role of both ends, both sides.
Right.
Yeah. Oof. So doing nothing isn't really an option for him because this is being done to them.
Right. 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 Hmm.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Not really.
I mean,
yeah, on some level, I guess the thinking of it is interesting.
It is a strange way of getting to an idea.
Being able to get there is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's weird.
It's upsetting.
Yeah, it's real upsetting.
Yeah.
And the idea of just being like, hey, listen, we know why people join cults and religions and all of this shit. We'll just do that.
Mm.
When they have something bad happen, we'll say that it's their fault and then they're ours. That's fascinating.
So Alex has something that comes to mind hearing this story from Tex.
I mean, Tex, I found that over and over and over and over again. I mean, when we went down to the Capitol to try to beat off a bunch of, fight back a bunch of gun bills, and in comes the local gun group guy, and he's got two black guys with him, and they march him up, and they go, we're black, we're evil, we're dangerous, we'll kill every, we shoot people, you better ban guns, And then they trot the guy's out.
Is that what they're saying?
He's paying them, and I got video of this.
Wow.
Paid them in crisp $100 bills, and then they just talked to me in normal English all of a sudden. They, no longer were they the ghetto, black guys. We just got paid and walked out and left. And then the paper calls me and goes, Mr. Jones, are you racist?
Yes, strong.
Would have been white
strongly.
People, would you have shown them being paid off? And the Capitol Ethics Board was saying, this is criminal what happened, but the paper was discussing, is Alex Jones racist? But the point is they have staged events, don't they, Tex?
Absolutely, they do.
I've seen that video. Alex is not conveying this incident accurately at all. For one thing, the testimony that's given is completely different than how Alex is portraying it. It's a guy from a group called Young Texans Against Gun Violence. He's a black dude from Houston who's telling the committee that one of the sources for guns in his community is gun shows, where you can get weapons far more easily than through licensed dealers,
right.
And that this contributes to the violence that he lives in.
Yeah.
Talking about how people who are on this council board don't see things internally. They're seeing the situation from an external perspective.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. He's not saying that we kill people, we shoot people, we're dangerous.
It would be a very strange thing for him to say.
That is a racist way for Alex to convey this person's testimony, because Alex is a fucking racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second, there's three men with this lawyer, not two. Alex is misremembering that. The video itself doesn't show the lawyer paying off anyone, but it appears to pick up just after the three men were given some compensation. They're really clear that this was repayment for travel expenses, not a payoff for their testimony. I do believe that Alex would take issue with anyone, white or black, testifying in favor of a gun bill,
yes.
But he probably wouldn't have been there or noticed these guys if they weren't black.
That's true.
I think there is a racist element in the play here, but it's not exactly the one that Alex is defending himself from.
Yeah.
So I do think it's racist as shit. Another thing that's important to point out is that Alex is accusing this lawyer in the video from deep in the past of working for George Soros, which is where the payoffs are coming from. He says that Soros has taken over the media, and he's playing around with a bunch of anti-Semitic tropes.
Sure.
That's why this particular incident comes to Alex's mind. Tex has just relayed a story about his belief that a Jewish group created fake racist groups to fight with so they could pass a hate speech bill. And in response, Alex tells a story of when he was accusing a Jewish billionaire of paying off black men to act scary so they could get a gun bill passed. These two guys, Alex and Tex, are really playing far more similar games than it might at first appear.
Yeah.
What they're doing is in concert.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
The whites are under attack. Mm. Oh, just always.
But even beyond that,
yeah.
What they're describing is strategically and based, like, it's fundamentally the same.
Yeah.
These two stories that they're telling,
yeah,
they follow the same pattern.
Yeah.
And that pattern is Jewish groups doing false flaggy type stuff in order to pass legislation that's aimed at taking away your free speech or taking away your guns. Like, that's what those two stories are.
Right.
They appear slightly different, but that is fundamentally what they are.
Yeah. I just struggle with this concept of, like, but why would you do that? This is not how you get things. I'm mad at the thought process, because that doesn't make any goddamn sense. And also, what you're saying...
Especially because free speech is still intact and so are gun rights.
I mean, but what you're saying is that the people who are portrayed as bad people are the ones I agree with entirely. Like, you're saying that. This bill wouldn't get passed if it weren't for blank, right? Mm-hmm. Those people who showed up are the ones who don't want the bill to be passed. So you agree with them fundamentally.
Yeah.
And that's a racist law.
Well, yeah, but they're not real.
But the law is...
No, I get it. It's a little bit self-condemning in some ways.
It's you saying, I agree with the racists, but if they didn't show up, we wouldn't have gotten the bill.
If they didn't show up as part of a coordinated thing with the people who were mad at them and put on a whole pageant,
right?
A Hegelian dialectic,
right?
But otherwise, yeah, I agree with the bad. I agree with the bad guys,
right? Yeah. Right. I mean, that's a really crazy thing to say, is because that's admitting that I mean, you're not going to take the payoff, right? Because you're too good.
Right.
But, yeah, you'd take the payoff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So,
wild.
Tex Mars has a kind of silly thought here that I don't think is as hateful as a lot of the things he says, just okay. Kind of silly.
Okay.
In this article you've written that we've got a link to at prisonplanet.com, you talk about John Forbes Carey and his initiation, and that he's brought before the master, told to bow to the master, and you say, is this the human leader of Skull and Bones, or was this mysterious hooded figure, in fact, the one whom men fear and quiver before?
Good question.
Real quick. This is the same article that later gets into John Kerry's secret Jewishness.
Right.
Alex is reading from that article,
right.
So he knows.
So he knows where the final part is.
Yeah.
Could this be Lucifer himself, Prince of Darkness? What are you getting at there?
Well, I think the question really is, does Lucifer on occasion come down and
come
talk
down
to his neophyte? You know, this is an occasion of a celebration of death. These young men lay in a coffin. They're initiated, as I explain it very carefully in my book, Dark Majesty. The skull and bones itself is a symbol of death, and the X under the skull, the way the bones are placed in the form of an X, goes all the way back to Osiris, the god of the underworld, the god of death,
sure,
of ancient Egypt.
Sure.
So I can believe, although I'm not saying it, I have no idea. To be honest with you, I've only got speculation from certain parties that it might literally be Lucifer himself who comes down once a year. This sounds so preposterous. On the other hand, some people have speculated it could be George Bush Sr., Herbert Walker, who is now considered one of the patriarchs of Skull and Bones.
Yeah, or Satan shows up once a year, like Santa.
What is a year to the devil?
Well, it's because the initiation ceremony every year at Skull and Bones. He's
sure.
Got to be there to preside over it so people can bow before him.
I mean, I just feel like that's not a productive use of his time if he's also trying to end the human race.
Well, a day to God is 1,000 years. And a day to the devil is like 300. He has a slightly different
time. He's on a, like, God's base 10 system.
Right.
And the devil's more of a binary.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
You had trouble with devil coming down.
I just appreciate the devil's coming down.
Well, he went down to Georgia.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's saying it in the same, devil went down to Skull and Bones.
He was looking for an initiate. He was way behind and sick of the bullshit.
Oh, man. Jesus Christ. Sick of saying bullshit. Oh. This is a family show.
Well, I've got to write another Devil Went Down to Georgia song, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's fun. The devil might actually show up.
But
I can't prove this. This is just based
just
on the speculation of a few people.
Other people.
Yep.
Some other people I've talked to were like, it could be the devil. And I was like, that is worthy of reprinting wholesale.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess take that in mind when you think about his other beliefs, mm-hmm, how firmly based they are in things.
Yeah.
So a caller calls in to talk to Alex and Tex, and this guy wants to bring up that it's not really biblical to believe in deicide.
What?
Dick in Indiana. Dick, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay. Something happened just there. I would like to talk about the Passion a little.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Matthew 20:19 says that the Gentiles had Jesus crucified. And Acts 2:21 claims that Israel had Jesus killed. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:6, the princes of this world had him killed.
Well, that's the point, is that the Romans, the Jews, the elite of the world, as that says, the establishment, didn't like what he was doing, the same thing today.
Yeah, and Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down willingly.
Okay, so.
Okay, and one other thing, Alex.
He jumps onto another subject there after that, but that's a
real
verse.
Tough to get around the whole no one killed me, I lay it down personally, because that's what I was telling you God told me to do. I was doing what he said, everybody's doing the plan. This is the whole thing.
And I also think that when you look at things like that and you consider the totality of the message, I don't feel like Jesus' message was, hold a grudge. Avenge me.
I want to say that he was very specific about what he was there to do.
Mm. He liked forgiveness.
I don't recall him saying anything about forgiveness. No, I don't recall him saying anything about that.
It doesn't feel like the kind of religion or sort of spiritualism that I would resonate with
to bicker
about blame thousands of years after something.
Yeah, it does seem a little odd. Yeah. It was weird when Jesus was like, let he who is without sin throw the first stone, unless he's got a shit ton of racist sin and it's a Jew. I don't believe he said that.
Yeah. So Tex isn't going to have any of this shit.
Hey, Alex, one thing. I know we haven't got much time. The caller right before this, I want to correct the impression he made about the Bible. Selectively quoted the Bible is absolutely not true. The Bible is very clear. Certainly Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. But there were human instruments, human agents, and the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians, verse 14 through 16, says this, quote, of the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus. I want to read that again. The Jews killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Now, either the Apostle Paul told the truth, which I'm convinced he did, or he didn't. But the Jews killed Jesus. Pilate, again and again, said, I find nothing wrong with this just man. I'm going to release him. But the Jews cried out. Here again we have the Bible, Matthew 27. They cried out, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. And they said, his blood be on us and on our children.
Well, Tex.
Weird thing for them to say.
You know, it's important to be historical. And when I was sitting up agreeing with the caller, what I was saying is that, and there are those verses he was reading, that the system, the corrupt system, and you know the Pharisees wanted this to happen, and so I was being clear that you know it's this group, not you know, because there were a bunch of Jewish people who were followers of Jesus, didn't want him killed.
Well, that's true. There weren't very many though, and it makes clear that it was a multitude, all of the Jews, and I'm afraid now we have many Jews who would do the same thing today. But again, we should not say every Jew because that's very, very unfair.
All right. So Alex has an inability to, he's agreeing with the caller when the caller was saying this,
right.
And then as soon as Tex pushes back on it, he has to sort of get towards the middle, but he's also really trying to be like, Tex,
yeah, come on, buddy, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's not go too hard.
This is not the place for that game, Tex.
Yeah, that's fun. I do appreciate that. Well, you know. There were people who followed Jesus who didn't. Fuck them.
Not many.
I mean, what does that mean? Not many? That
not enough.
Count. That doesn't. Yeah, what's the correct number?
Tex is, I was going to say unfortunately, but I'm not sure about that. He's dead, so we can't ask him about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't ask for numbers.
I feel like maybe somebody should have noticed in the Bible. It tells a lot of different stories about the same thing happening.
It's true.
Based upon what is useful at the time.
There's different accounts of things.
It seems like if there are different accounts of things and they're all in the Bible, and then they all have to be true.
I mean, that's you know, I mean, that's an issue for someone else to wrestle with.
Exactly.
I don't have a dog in this fight. So, I'm going to let this one go. So a caller calls in and asks about a white supremacist murderer, but also maybe isn't asking about that, but Alex thinks he is. I don't know what's going on here.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call, Alex. First, I'd like to apologize. I believe the last time I called, I was quite upset. And I
probably listen, it's okay. Let's not have a... Sir, do you have a question or a comment or a point?
Yes, I do. I was wondering, a couple of years back, there used to be a so-called, I believe it was a white supremacy church around the Chicago area. And one of this guy's followers went and killed about 6 or 7 people in a mostly Jewish, an affluent neighborhood.
Yeah, Buford Furrow, total federal operation. He lived at the military base in Washington State, friends with Larry Ashbrook, who shot up the Baptist center. in Fort Worth, and he told his neighbors, I'm under control, I was in the Navy, they're telling me to do it. Neighbors saw a white van pull up, people grab him a week before, he freaked out, tore his house up, cried out for help, and then went and shot everybody yelling, Hail Satan, and then blew his own head off. Tex, you want to comment on that?
Well, actually, this was another deal out in Chicago. I believe the guy's name was Hale. And the last time I heard, he was arrested under the Patriot Act. Now, this is the leader of the so-called church. He said he didn't have nothing to do with this guy going killing those people, but they put some phony charges on this guy saying he was trying to kill a judge. And they arrested him under the Patriot Act, and he hasn't had a lawyer. Now, it's been like 2 years, and I haven't heard another. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I see these articles all the time. Tex, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think you're talking about Matt Hale.
Yep.
He's a lawyer. Of course, I wouldn't agree with him on a religious basis at all.
No.
He really does not believe in a personal God. But I know him. I've communicated with him. And those are trumped-up charges. What he really did was he disagreed with this judge, and he asked people to write the judge and let him know you disagree with him. Now, unfortunately, he didn't tell anybody to do any harm to the judge or whatever, but the judge didn't like to receive. He's one of these elitist monsters who thinks that if you just criticize him, that's intimidation. And the judge ordered Mr. Hale then arrested because he didn't like to be criticized.
The judge was a lady. But also, Matthew Hale didn't just criticize a judge.
Oh.
He solicited someone to murder the judge, and that person was an FBI agent.
Right.
The FBI agent had been embedded in Hale's group, and Hale had made him the head of security because he liked him.
Wow.
And honestly, if you look at the case, it really does kind of feel like, you know, Matthew Hale is a piece of shit. Yeah, he sucks. He's a neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
But that FBI agent was doing a bit of poking and prodding.
Yeah.
Towards getting him to want to kill the judge.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's entrapment or not, but it looking at the information that I looked at made me feel like, left to his own devices, there is a chance that he would not have wanted to kill this judge.
Right.
But there's also a chance that he would have.
Sure.
I don't know. He did get charged.
I mean, the problem with that is we've seen an awful lot of the FBI agents do that to Muslims immediately following 9/11, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to trust the FBI.
It's I think the standard of blame should be fairly high, or the standard of certainty that this person wants to and is planning to do this thing is pretty high. And I have a little bit of a dubious feeling about this. Now, again, this dude sucks.
Yeah.
He's running a Nazi church.
Sure.
Sucks.
Yeah.
And a bizarre twist. Hale was arrested in 2003, but later this judge's mother and husband were murdered in her home in 2005. But get this. It was found to be completely unrelated to Matthew Hale.
Wild. That's not fair.
That's the coincidence is just
it's
baffling.
It's one of those things, you know, sometimes it's like, oh man, I don't know if things that happen far away are real.
This was in Chicago.
What I mean is outside of this room.
Okay. So I think, like, I don't know what Alex was talking about, but the caller, he was referencing a murder spree that was carried out by this white supremacist and Hale church follower named Benjamin Nathaniel Smith. Between July 2nd and 4th, 1999, Smith carried out drive-by shootings in the Chicagoland area targeting Jews and minorities. The spree ended when he went to Bloomington, Indiana, and tried to carry out a mass shooting, ultimately killing one guy, is a Korean dude named Won Jun Yoon, and then he led the police on a highway chase and shot himself in the head.
Jesus.
So that was the case that this caller brought up, but
right.
You can see how knee-jerk Alex is coming up with some kind of a story where he can rattle off all kinds of insinuations that this white supremacist murderer is a false flag of some sort, because he is invested in denying the existence of this brand of violence.
It should be difficult to get past, you didn't actually know what that guy was talking about, and then you made up a long story about that guy.
Right. Well, that certainly is some kind of the slew of talking points that he has about a different white supremacist murderer.
That's kind of the thing there. Yeah.
You're very eager to deny white supremacist violence,
so
is basically what we're getting at.
the FBI, like, I mean, but that has to be it. That has to be like the entirety of the FBI's job is to pretend to be white supremacists murdering people.
For Alex?
Yeah, because yeah. There's so many of them all over the place, right?
Yeah, yeah. If for Alex's ideas to be...
Yeah.
To be and, well, I mean, not just that. I mean, they're also, you know, pretending to be patriots doing bombings.
Sure.
And you know, so,
yeah.
I mean, there's
Yeah. They've got a business.
So Tex, like I said, he performed Alex's wedding. Mm-hmm. The guys know each other real well.
Yeah.
And he just thinks Alex is a sweetheart.
Everything we've said on this program... Many people will say it's intimidation, and yet, Alex, I know you personally. Listen, you wouldn't even hurt a puppy dog. I mean, you're the kindest guy I know.
He has killed
one of the
more...
kindest. Your wife is one of the sweetest ladies I know, Violet. And yet, you see, they would claim that by our free speech, we're threatening people's lives, we're intimidating, we're creating terrorism. This is nonsense. And we've got to stop the nonsense before we lose our country.
Absolutely. And if folks want a free Power of Prophecy newsletter, I suggest you call and get one, 800-234.
That's the newsletter that's full of all the anti-Semitic bullshit, yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
Alex, you've never hurt a dog. You've killed so many dogs.
I mean,
and
so many fucking dogs.
Alex is, by his account, I mean, I know he's lying, but by his account, he's a fucking murderer. He's killed people.
Yep, he says that.
Yeah.
A lot.
I don't know, man.
I've stumped somebody's guts here.
They die real slow. This is a family show.
Don't say bullshit.
So you have one last clip here, and I think that this is illuminating as fuck. This is the pipeline.
Tex, I appreciate your hard work and all you do, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Alex, listen, I feel the same way about you. You're really on the front lines, and people need to pray for Alex Jones. You're doing so much good. Just at my Bible Home Church meeting the other night, a gentleman came up to me. He's a chiropractor. He said his whole life was turned around by you, Alex, just listening to your show. He had been a Rush Limbaugh fan, but he says, but after he listened to Alex Jones, he said he knew that Rush Limbaugh just didn't tell the whole story. And I want to thank you and your audience as well for the courtesy of me coming on today.
Well, thank you. Take care, Tex.
I'd also like to thank you for creating an audience that is receptive to me, whereas the jump from Rush to me, probably too big of a jump.
Yep.
But you prepare them to be sucked into...
You got it. From Rush to
anti-Semitic
Alex to
churches like yeah. mine.
Hey, yeah. You know what's fun about that?
Hmm.
Spells rat.
Mm-hmm. I think that there could not be more clear, like kind of just in less than a minute, an explanation of this guy was listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
You radicalized him and made him believe that there was this large conspiracy that explains everything in the world and that Rush was hiding things from him. And then he eventually found his way to me. Because I'm even more satisfied. Because
right.
I give the ultimate answer that you right. don't really give
right.
the people are looking for, which is it's the Jews.
Right. You started listening to Alex. You believe in the conspiracy. And then you're talking to other people who listen to Alex. And they're like, you know what he's actually talking about?
You know
Here's
who,
this
you know who
guy.
His guru is.
Exactly.
This guy who says the stuff that Alex can't say on the air because then he'd get in trouble. Yeah,
they'd call him a racist.
Uh-huh.
Now, I mean, if you read it,
hey,
what are you going to say?
Well, so yeah, this is a bad episode, man. Bad stuff.
Yeah.
2004 is tough.
Yeah.
I think it's so much more interesting and so much more revealing in terms of what Alex's career has really meant. The foundations of it and so much of this building time, like what he should be called to be responsible for.
Yeah.
But man, bad. Like, it's just stuff that doesn't get talked about enough.
No.
Alex's show was a den of Nazis, basically, in 2004.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, we saw how popular it got. The amount of damage Alex did to everybody
mm-hmm.
through this is fucking huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's insane. It's insane that it's still going on.
Yeah. It's very strange that so much of the legacy isn't defined by, like, the basically what is being described in that last clip. Like, so much of Alex's legacy should be middleman between conservatism and Nazis.
Yeah.
Willing participant in that pipeline.
I'm the guy who'll get you there. He's the fucking goddamn coyote of racism.
Oh, you know, not the Wile E. Coyote.
No. What? He'll get you across the border is what I'm trying to say. Yes.
How does the Wile E. Coyote metaphor make sense? I don't understand.
Fair enough.
So, yep, that's that. I'm going to be moving this weekend, so we have an interview that you did coming up on Monday, so that's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
But we will be back in the soon after that.
Indeed we will.
Ideally, the move will be smooth, and we'll have a new studio, take some pictures, show the people.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
I realize I didn't ask you for closing thoughts, because I kind of think we got it out of the way.
Yeah. No. That explains everything that I feel.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at Knowledge Under Square Fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. Boop boop doop 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 boop 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 boop. Hey, Alex, do you think that we should do a Chilly Willy Winter?
Woo yeah! Woo yeah!
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.